Blog Talk Radio.
Among the interesting birthdays today, great explorer George Vancouver, born in 1757, he explored the area up in the northwest between U.S. and Canada and Alaska. We have Vancouver, British Columbia, which is the city best known to carry his name, but there's also a Vancouver, Washington across the U.S.-Canadian border. He was an officer in the British Navy, believed to have sailed with Captain Cook. Had quite a reputation, but he didn't get honor in his lifetime, and he died at age 40. Another interesting death today was that of Henry Hudson, who was set adrift. Hudson, we know as Hudson's Bay, but he was apparently a Dutchman who did quite a bit of exploring. And he had some problems on one of his last voyage, and it was a mutiny, and he was set adrift with his son, and was never heard from again. Among the other birthdays, getting back to birthdays, Giacomo Puccini, one of the greatest composers of opera that ever lived, La Boheme, Madame Butterfly, Turandot, Tosca, all these great operas. He was known as one of the great romantic opera composers in world's music history. He didn't finish Turandot, was finished by Alfano, and it's most Wagnerian of his operas, and Toscanini, Arturo Toscanini, conducted the premiere of it. From that period also, we have the famous writer Eric Maria Remarque, who wrote the World War I anti-war book called All Quiet on the Western Front, which later became a movie. Great singer, born in Russia, Jeannie Turrell, Russian-Jewish heritage. Great gangster, was killed in Chicago in front of the Biographic Theater, John Dillinger. Billy Wilder, German-Jewish heritage, a great movie director. Probably his most famous and most popular was Some Like It Hot, starring Marilyn Monroe, Jack Lemmon, and Tony Curtis, who were in drag to escape Chicago gangsters. Today is the birthday of Senator Dianne Feinstein Blum. She married a guy named Richard Blum. I don't know why she used the name Feinstein. A lot of people, that was her second husband. She's on her third right now. And she's running for re-election, although a lot of people think it's time for her to retire and enjoy all her acquired wealth. Great actor, singer, Kris Kristofferson. Guy who worked on 60 Minutes, a black reporter from Detroit, Ed Bradley, died of cancer. For the basketball fans, so I think this guy's Croatian ethnicity. His father was a coach, I think, in Louisiana. Pistol Pete Maravich. And then a great actress who plays many roles. Her most recent one was depicting Margaret Thatcher, Meryl Streep, born today. And, of course, among the deaths today, in 1922, this is the first of British Field Marshal not to die in battle. Field Marshal Henry Wilson, who was of the Anglo-Irish-Scotch ethnicity, heritage. He served in, with Lord Roberts, who was the in-law, not the in-law, but related to, who had married an Indian woman when he was, a lot of British who were in India, and British Army, they married or screwed around with Indian women. And so Roberts, actually Roberts was a half Anglo-Indian, but Henry Wilson served on his staff and later served in World War I. He spoke French. He created a lot of controversy. And after the war, he was back in Ireland, and he was assassinated by two IRA gunmen. And supposedly Michael Collins, the great Irish freedom fighter, was supposedly behind the assassination. Great director, probably best known for Gone with the Wind. He died today, and we'll just play this clip, which is one of the best. A lot of real estate people refer to this in Thomas Mitchell, who was the father of Vivian, played Vivian Leigh. And here's what he says about land.
There's none in the county can touch you, and none in the state.
Paul, how kind of chap you are.
Well, it's gone, O'Hara. So, you've been spying on me. And like your sister Sue Ellen, you'll be telling your mother on me that I was jumping again.
Oh, Paul, you know I'm no tattletale like Sue Ellen. But it does seem to me that after you broke your knee last year, jumping that same fence.
I'll not have my own daughter telling me what I shall jump and not jump. It's my own neck, so it is.
All right, Paul, you jump what you please. How are they all over trouble?
The Wilkses? No, and the stew you would expect with the barbecue tomorrow and talking nothing but war.
Come out of the war. Was there anyone else there?
Oh, their cousin Melanie Hamilton from Atlanta and her brother Charles.
Melanie Hamilton. The pale-faced, mealy-mouthed ninny, and I hate her.
Ashley Wilkes doesn't think so.
Ashley Wilkes couldn't like anyone like her.
What's your interest in Ashley and Miss Melanie?
It's nothing. Let's go into the house, Paul.
Has he been trifling with you? Has he asked you to marry him?
No.
No, nor will he. I had it in strictest confidence from John Wilkes this afternoon. Ashley's going to marry Miss Melanie. It'll be announced tomorrow night at the ball.
I don't believe it.
Here, what are you off to? Scarlet!
What are you about? Have you been making a spectacle of yourself running about after a man who's not in love with you when you might have any of the bucks in the county?
I haven't been running after him. It's a surprise, that's all.
Now, don't be jerking your chin at me. If Ashley wanted to marry you, put me with misgivings, I'd say yes. I want my girl to be happy. Can you not be happy with him?
I would.
But what difference does it make who you marry, so long as he's a southerner and thinks like you? And when I'm gone, I leave Tara to you.
I don't want Tara. Plantations don't mean anything when...
Do you mean to tell me, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, that Tara, that land doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for. Worth fighting for, worth dying for. Because it's the only thing that lasts.
Oh, Paul, you talk like an Irishman.
It's proud I am that I'm Irish. And don't you be forgetting, Missy, that you're half Irish, too. And to anyone with a drop of Irish blood in them, why, the land they live on is like their mother.
Well, it's kind of applicable with the assassination of Sir Henry Wilson, who's one of the landed gentry, or part of that, in Ireland, and then Michael Collins, and of course David Selznick, and this bit of injection of Irish ethnicity and history in Gone with the Wind, one of the great movies of all time. Among the other births today, deaths, we have Judy Garland. They anglicized her name, and of course She married, I think, one of her daughters, Lorna Luft. But anyway, Judy Garland was originally from Michigan, and she had a German-sounding name. And, of course, she died as a lush, and she is one of the figurines, I should say, among gays who were into that kind of camp. And then another great director, Joseph Losey, born today, British. And then Fred Astaire died today. Now, Fred Astaire is interesting because his older sister, Adele, married a British lord whose grandfather was assassinated by Patrick Hallinan, the grandfather of Terrence Hallinan, who was the controversial district attorney of San Francisco. And also, Patrick Hallinan was the father of Vincent Hallinan, who was a longtime lawyer of the controversial Longshoremen's Union. If you want to understand the Longshoremen, see the movie On the Waterfront, starring Marlon Brando and Eva Marie Saint. Great movie. And although it's set in New York's waterfront, the activities on that were depicted in that movie happened here in San Francisco on the West Coast. And, of course, Fred Astaire's sister, she died. Adele died in Arizona. Her husband, I think, died in World War II. And the family name, actually, they were Fred and Adele were actually born in Nebraska. I think they were from Omaha, like Henry Fonda Johnny Carson. A lot of people came from the Midwest who went into Broadway, Hollywood, the London stage. But Fred Astaire, the Astaires, were their name was anglicized, and they were actually Austerlitz, which is a site of a famous battle that Napoleon won against the Austrians. It's amazing how things happen. But a lot of Hollywood actors have their name was anglicized or changed or shortened. Kim Novak was the only one that didn't happen to. She was recently here in San Francisco. Kim and I had the same speech teacher, Professor Dolly Tharsom, at Wright College in Chicago. And I was behind Kim, I'd say about 10 years. And, of course, Kim, her first name was Marilyn. She didn't use it, and she was born in the Wicker Park area of Chicago, near North Side. And, of course, I was my teacher, Professor Dolly Tharsom, used to razz me all the time about that I didn't do as well as I should. Beginning classes, I had her for 4 classes. She also did tutoring to, I think, Rock Hudson and some others. She's a graduate of Northwestern University. Small world. Among the events issues today, of course, we got into the Greeks and how they have been propped up. Greece and the economy over there has been propped up by the expatriate Greeks in like Australia, Melbourne, in Chicago, Washington, D.C., where the Greeks who have money have been sending money to their countrymen in Greece, and that's enabled those Greeks over there to live the lifestyle they've grown accustomed to but can no longer afford. And, of course, it's interesting that it's been disclosed that if you don't pay a parking ticket in Greece, you may lose your health insurance. And also, I think this is a good idea, that polling has to stop. Announcements about polls have to stop 2 weeks before an election so that polls don't unduly influence the voters. We need that over here on this side of the pond. Among the other issues, I call it none of that, play on words, is that these radical feminists who've emerged among the Roman Catholic nuns, a sisterhood, there's a problem. A lot of them, a growing number of them, have gotten involved in the real estate business where they've taken church property and turned it into so-called affordable housing. But what happens is there's been abuses of senior citizens. There's sex abuses charges, mysterious deaths in a few cases here in San Francisco. And also the fact that the American taxpayer has financed the Roman Catholic welfare programs of the Catholic Church, of which I am a member, is the largest recipient of federal tax dollars for the various projects. A lot of them have done good. We're not denying that, but unfortunately, increasingly we keep hearing from these people who have been living on the federal grants and loans and affordable housing and all that sort of thing, is that they want more, but they don't mention that, hell, we're going to account for the millions and billions of dollars that we're getting from the American taxpayer so that the American taxpayer gets his or her money worth. And I have been in the shopping line, a checkout line at places like Costco and that, and behind me were nuns with baskets full of very expensive wines, $20, $25 bottle of wines, and I was looking askance at what was in that shopping cart, and it wasn't just one bottle, it was a whole case or two, and you're beginning to wonder about the lifestyle. Now, for those of those people who do not know what Roman Catholic nuns are supposed to do when they join the nunnery, there's the rule of chastity, poverty, and obedience, and we're seeing less poverty and a complete refusal to obey Rome. The Roman Catholic Church is not a democracy, and if these people want to leave, there are those among us who think, hey, you join the church, you know what the rules are, you don't come in and say you're not going to obey them or you're going to change them, you either submit or you leave. This Catholic Church is not a democracy, and don't expect it to ever be. It wouldn't work. Also, they need to change their lifestyle. Not all the nuns are like this. We're not talking about the nuns who are like Mother Teresa nuns who work here in the ghettos and among the poor and in the jails. We're talking about these nuns who drive Mercedes, who drink expensive wines. We've got one nun here in San Francisco who lives in an expensive condo. Now, we don't know how she got that condo. And also, when I've had arguments with these people that run these affordable housing projects, they're saying, well, we're in the real estate business. And I say, whatever happened to God? And we don't hear that. You as a taxpayer, as a citizen, try to get an audit of some of these outfits that are run by nuns and brothers, I should say. They don't have them, or they won't give them to you if there are audits. We had another case, just to change the subject, of a Roman Catholic brother who died of AIDS, and he was molesting, accused, of molesting young boys and running a house of prostitution in one of the San Francisco affordable housing projects. There are cases we are hearing of some nuns, we don't know how many, and we don't think it's that many, who have molested young girls. So we've got a problem. And it's not only the priests, brothers, and bishops, it's the nuns. Some of them have gotten out of control. They don't want to obey the rules, and they in fact embrace radical feminism and also are promoting lesbianism and homosexuality. There is another argument that's come up about the behavior of some of these nuns, in that they con women, young women, into giving up their babies, and they're accused, these nuns are accused of selling these babies. Now, this needs to be investigated to see if it is true. But some of these things are coming out, and if true, they're horrible and have got to be stopped. So, we encourage young women who don't want to get married. We used to say they marry Christ, spiritually speaking. They do a lot of good in the hospitals and the schools, among the poor, among senior citizens, but they get intoxicated and get corrupted by wealth and radical politics. And if Jesus Christ, someone commented, if Christ were to come back today and try to drive these people out of the churches, he'd be driven out. Let's hope that this changes, because these people have in the past done a lot of good, and we hope that they continue to do, those who are doing it, but this radicalism and this politicization of religion is not acceptable and will never be embraced by people who believe in that there is separation of church and state and should not only be on April 14th, and again, that a man or a person can't serve two masters. Not only does one of them get shortchanged, but they lose their shorts as well. Now, we're also, since there's going to be a lot of marathons during the summer and into the fall, I think Dr. Eric Szymanski's medical advice is appropriate again. So we're going to play the interview right now, very short, that I did, since he has gone to Boston and, of course, that's one of the most famous marathons in the country. And I didn't know that people were dropping dead on that one. So here's his advice on marathon running.
Dr. Eric, who is doing his resident cardiology, and he comes from a family of his father is a cardiologist back east. Doc, every year we see people who are older, and they try to do a marathon in San Francisco, in this case, from the Bay to the Breakers. And this year we had a guy who they thought was dead. He was lucky that they were able to get him to the hospital. We still don't know his condition. What practical tips could you tell people who go out on these charity walks, these marathons, and that sort of thing? And you're going to Boston, and you'll see the Boston Marathon.
Absolutely. So we see this very often, as it's been occurring with multiple marathons been occurring in the last couple of years. Chicago and also Boston recently had some deaths as well. Some of these we can't predict because they do occur in younger populations that have no known cardiovascular disease. And a lot of these are trained athletes and still unfortunately undergo these terrible end result events. However, for the untrained athlete, I think the bottom line is competitive racing, especially any exercise that is unusual for the patient, is usually not advised unless there has been a significant training period beforehand. So really, these marathons are for trained athletes, and for people who are not trained athletes, they should be undergoing at least a formal program for several months up to the point that can condition themselves. The other important thing is the racing environment. So a lot of times, the weather is very hot, and that also precipitates a lot of these events, either whether they're just revivable events or actually terminal events. But staying hydrated, trying to stay out of very warm weather when you're exerting yourself to a point that's above and beyond your usual conditioning.
One quick question. We always see the African runners usually win. Are they more, shall we say, healthy, speaking from a cardiovascular situation perspective?
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's anything genetically or structurally different about a lot of the African runners. They just tend to be very skilled athletes. So, but it is an unusual pattern, and they definitely tend to win most races. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Doc.
Absolutely.
I hope people take your advice and we
no
have
problem.
Less medical problems.
Thank you.
Okay.
And since we're going to end, we'll be back Monday. Also, you can see a guy having a heart attack on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas YouTube. And so we'll end with our usual theme, and since we're in the political season, this is most appropriate, politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the judge?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
what
to bet,
where to call up.
All
about poker? Which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fold.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovic. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
We'll be back Monday, and we'll probably have some of the new interviews and some updated stuff. This is Peter Paul Rizzola, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.